Welcome to episode 8 of Everybody ESL, the podcast for everybody who wants to improve their English, practice their English, or just learn more English. My name is Ben, and I have a lot of good stuff for you today. A grammar topic, some vocabulary about cars and driving, a segment on small talk, a listening quiz, the joke of the week, and more. As you listen to the podcast, if you have any questions about the material that I'm covering, or if you have any questions about English at all, or suggestions for future episodes of the podcast, please send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. Now let's get on with this episode. This episode's grammar topic is the simple present. And what I want to say about the simple present is that it isn't really a present tense at all. That sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? The simple present is not a present tense. This is the kind of thing that makes me think that English textbooks are all wrong. Because the simple present tense almost never describes things that happen right now. Usually, if we want to describe an action that is happening right now as we're speaking, we use the present continuous tense or the present progressive tense. That's just another name for the present continuous tense. So, if snow is falling right now, we say, "It's snowing." Or, if your friend calls you up and asks, "Hi, what are you doing right now?" Well, there's present continuous. What are you doing? You could answer, "Oh, not much. I am just reading." So when we want to describe things that are happening right now, we usually use that ing form of the verb, the present continuous or the present progressive. So what do we use the simple present for, if not to describe actions that happen right now? The most common use for the simple present is describing things that happen usually or regularly or in general or as the result of somebody's habit. For instance, you could say, "The movie theater near my house plays many foreign movies." Or, "The movie theater near my house shows many foreign movies." That's the simple present, plays or shows. But we're not talking about something that happens right now. The movie theater might not be showing a foreign movie right now as we're having this conversation. So what I mean when I say the movie theater near my house plays or shows many foreign movies is that is the habit of this movie theater. That's what this movie theater usually does. Or, that's what this movie theater often does. If I say, "My brother plays the piano very well," I don't mean that my brother is right now sitting in front of the piano and playing it very well. I mean, this is his habit. This describes something in general about my brother. My brother is the kind of person who can play the piano very well. That's what I use the simple present for. It has many other uses too, but most of them don't involve things happening right now. It's very strange. In a way, I feel like we shouldn't call it the simple present. We use it for things that happen often, things that happen usually. Sometimes we use it for things that happen in the future. When I say, "My plane leaves in 1 hour," I mean my plane will leave in 1 hour. We can even use the simple present sometimes to describe past actions. But for now, I just wanted to say that the most common use of the simple present is for things that happen commonly, usually, things that happen in general, or things that happen as a result of somebody's habit or personality. So that is this episode's grammar topic, the most common use of the simple present, and why maybe it shouldn't be called that at all. The theme for this week's vocabulary is cars and driving. And the first word on our list is tailgate. T-A-I-L-G-A-T-E. Tailgate. A tailgate is a part of a pickup truck. It's the part of the vehicle that's at the very back that flips down to help you load things in the back of the truck. But tailgate is also a verb, meaning to drive too closely behind the car in front of you, to drive right behind their tailgate. That's where it comes from. There's another noun, tailgater, somebody who tailgates, somebody who drives too close to the car in front. Now, this can lead to the next word on the list for this week, which is road rage. It's actually a two-word expression. Road, R-O-A-D, rage, R-A-G-E. Rage means intense anger, great anger. And road rage is the intense anger that some drivers feel when they don't like what other drivers are doing. If they think somebody is driving too fast, or driving too dangerously, or driving too close. If somebody is tailgating them, that can cause some people to experience road rage. The next word is blinker. B-L-I-N-K-E-R. Do you know what your blinker is? Your blinker is the turn signal. You know, the little bar that you push down in one direction or lift up in the other direction to make your turn signal blink, to tell everybody what direction you're going to turn. That is your blinker. What about high beams? Do you know what high beams are? Your high beams are the very bright setting for your headlights. When you turn your high beams on, your headlights go to the very bright setting. Sometimes high beams are also called brights, B-R-I-G-H-T-S. So you can turn on your high beams or turn on your brights, or you can flash your high beams at a car coming toward you. Maybe the car coming toward you has its high beams on, and you want to let them know to turn them off, because it can be very annoying when someone is driving toward you with their high beams on or with their brights on. The next word is intersection. I-N-T-E-R-S-E-C-T-I-O-N. Intersection. An intersection is where two roads or two streets cross. An intersection is really where any two things cross. That's an intersection. The next term is glove compartment. G-L-O-V-E, glove. Compartment. C-O-M-P-A-R-T-M-E-N-T. Do you know what the glove compartment in your car is? I think this is sort of a strange term. I think it's left over from an older time. The glove compartment is the little compartment or the little space or the little box in front of the passenger seat. It's the place where you might keep your proof of insurance or your car registration or maybe sunglasses or a pack of gum. Long time ago, this is where people would keep maps. Do people still have maps in their cars? I don't. I don't really use maps for anything. But anyway, glove compartments used to be called that, I guess, because people would put their gloves in the glove compartment. Maybe people used to wear special driving gloves, and this was the place they would keep them when they were not wearing them. Well, I don't think people always have gloves in the car anymore, but that is still sometimes called the glove compartment. What about speed trap? Another two-word expression. Speed, S-P-E-E-D, trap, T-R-A-P. A speed trap is a place where a police officer is waiting to see if people are speeding. A place where a police officer is waiting to catch people who are speeding. That's really what they're doing. They're waiting to catch you if you're driving too fast. Maybe there's a spot on the road where they can hide so everybody won't see them as they come around the curve or as they come over the hill. So the police might set up a speed trap there to try to catch people who are driving too fast. And the last word in our list is detour. D-E-T-O-U-R. Detour. A detour is a way around something. If they are doing construction on the road, or if there's a bad accident on the road, they might set up a detour. There might be signs, usually orange and black signs, that say, detour, you must go this way instead. So a detour is any way around something. And those are our driving words for the week. See if you can use these in your conversation today. This episode's small talk topic is about the granddaddy of all small talk topics. Do you know what it means to describe something as the granddaddy of something else? Well, granddaddy is another word for grandfather. And if you describe something as the granddaddy of small talk topics, it means it's the best example of small talk topics. You could talk about the granddaddy of action movies, or the granddaddy of Russian literature. So the granddaddy is the best example of something. And the granddaddy of small talk topics is the weather. Now, this isn't the most interesting topic, but when it comes to small talk, you don't always want an interesting topic. Sometimes you want a safe topic. A safe topic is a topic that nobody will get angry about. Nobody could ever feel insulted. There will never be any hurt feelings. Everybody can talk about the weather at any time with anybody. And that makes it a perfect small talk topic. If you find yourself waiting in line somewhere or waiting at a bus stop, you can always talk about the weather, even with a complete stranger. Now, in some parts of the world, this kind of small talk might be very unusual, but in the United States, it's pretty common. It's not strange to strike up or start a conversation with a complete stranger. And if you do, if you want to use this as an example to practice your English, which I think is a great idea, you can always talk about the weather. Now, depending on where you live and what the weather is like and what the weather report is saying lately, that will determine what you say. But you can always say things like, I can't believe how cold it was this morning. Or, they say it's going to rain soon, and I'm glad about that. Maybe because you're a gardener, and you think your tomato plants will really like the rain. Or maybe you say, they say it's going to rain this weekend. Oh, I'm unhappy about that. I was going to go hiking with some friends. Or you can say, I'm really glad that summer is finally over. I couldn't stand the heat. Or you could also say, I'm sorry to see summer go. It's my favorite season. Everybody is willing to talk, at least for a little while, about the weather, about their favorite season, the kind of weather they like the most, or the kind of weather they dislike the most, or how the weather is affecting their plans. I think talking about the weather is always a safe thing to do, and it's a great opportunity to practice your English. Because when you talk about the weather, you're not only talking about the weather, you're also talking about yourself and your likes and dislikes, your favorites, your plans for the weekend, or what you did last weekend. So I encourage you to talk about the weather with everybody you meet. Well, I don't really encourage you to talk about the weather with everybody you meet, but I do think it's a great topic for small talk and a great chance for you to practice your English. And now it's time for the joke of the week. A joke that's probably not very funny, but might show us something interesting about English. I know that's what I say every time, but this time I can tell you with all confidence, this joke is not funny, but I do think it's useful. Here is the joke. What musical instrument can you find in the bathroom? What musical instrument can you find in the bathroom? Do you give up? Do you know the answer? What musical instrument can you find in the bathroom? The answer is a tuba toothpaste. What? Huh? What does that mean? Well, do you know what a tuba is? A tuba is a large brass instrument. It sounds like this. That's a tuba. So what does that have to do with the bathroom? A tuba toothpaste? What? Well, the joke comes from the fact that when we speak, we often shorten the word of into just a. So if we are going to say a tube of toothpaste, that will often come out as a tuba toothpaste. The same way you could say, I'm going out to dinner tonight with a couple of friends, or I'm going out to dinner tonight with a couple of friends. A couple of friends. A tube of toothpaste. So when you say a tube of toothpaste, it sounds like tuba toothpaste. So that's where that joke comes from the fact that the word of in speech is often shortened to just the sound a. A tube of toothpaste, a tuba toothpaste. Well, that's the joke of the week. Not very funny, but maybe useful because it shows us something interesting about English. And now it's time for this episode's listening quiz. As I do every time, I will read a short paragraph two times. First, I will read it at a normal speaking rate, the same way I would tell the story to a friend of mine. The second time, I will read it more slowly, and it might be easier for you to follow along when I read it at the slower rate. And when I'm done with reading it both times, I will ask a number of questions, and then you can test your listening comprehension. Okay, here we go. First time at the faster rate. Linda is nervous. On Tuesday, she had a job interview, and she's still waiting to hear whether she got the job. The job she's trying to get is with a publisher. The company publishes cookbooks. Cooking is Linda's favorite hobby, so she thinks this job would be perfect for her. Linda always looks for new foods to make for herself and her roommates. Maybe if she gets the job, she could write her own cookbook. She knows a lot about Mexican food because her grandmother grew up in Mexico and taught her how to make many delicious Mexican dishes. Maybe she could write a whole series of Mexican cookbooks. While she waits for the publisher to call her, she can't stop fantasizing about this job. Linda's phone is ringing. It's someone from the publisher calling. She's almost too nervous to answer the phone. Okay, how was that? Was that a good speed? Was it too fast? Let's try it again, this time. I'll read it at a slower speed. Linda is nervous. On Tuesday, she had a job interview, and she's still waiting to hear whether she got the job. The job she's trying to get is with a publisher. The company publishes cookbooks. Cooking is Linda's favorite hobby, so she thinks this job would be perfect for her. Linda always looks for new foods to make for herself and her roommates. Maybe if she gets the job, she could write her own cookbook. She knows a lot about Mexican food because her grandmother grew up in Mexico and taught her how to make many delicious Mexican dishes. Maybe she could write a whole series of Mexican cookbooks. While she waits for the publisher to call her, she can't stop fantasizing about this job. Linda's phone is ringing. It's someone from the publisher calling. She's almost too nervous to answer the phone. Okay, how was that? Was it a little bit easier that time? Well, here are the questions. See if you can answer them and see how you do. Number one, why is Linda nervous? Number two, what is Linda's favorite hobby? Number three, who does Linda live with? Number four, where did Linda's grandmother grow up? And number five, who called Linda? And here are the answers to those questions. Number one, why is Linda nervous? She's nervous because she had a job interview and she really wants to get the job. Number two, what is Linda's favorite hobby? Her favorite hobby is cooking. Number three, who does Linda live with? She lives with roommates, so she lives with friends. Number four, where did Linda's mother grow up? She grew up in Mexico. And number five, who called Linda? It was someone from the publisher calling her, I guess, to tell her whether she got the job. Okay, so how did you do? We've reached the end of episode 8 of Everybody ESL. I hope you learned a lot, and I hope this episode has given you a lot of good stuff to practice. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for me about the podcast, please send an email to everybodyesl@gmail.com. Don't forget, you can always send your question or comment or suggestion in the form of an audio file. And maybe I will include that in a future episode. I'll be back soon with another mini episode of the podcast. And until then, keep going, keep practicing, and keep learning. Goodbye. I'll see you soon.